Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
For he truly is the author and the finisher of our faith. To these ministers who share the pulpit and the work of ministry with us, and to all of you, the saints of God, who are in this house on today, and then to those who listen to us by way of radio 88.1, and to those who watch us by way of the internet, we certainly thank God for you. And it is always our prayer that this ministry is a blessing to you wherever you are. Amen. Come on, let's give those who listen by radio and those who watch by internet a hand. Let them know we're thankful for them. Amen. 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 I want to talk this morning, and I'm going to be in the book of John. Chapter 1 and verses 35 through 42. Before we read the scripture, I just want to stress to Pleasant Hill how important evangelism is. Now, many of you shared with us in the purpose-driven Bible study, and with that said, let me go ahead and get the word out that we will resume our Bible study on the 17th of this month. Amen. August 17th, so mark your calendars that we will be resuming Bible study. Amen. But one of the things that we studied in the purpose-driven life, Rick Warren's purpose-driven life, one of the purposes for which we have all been called into as believers is that of evangelism. We're called to be witnesses. And I can't stress enough how important it is for you as believers to understand that the work of witnessing and the work of spreading the good news is not solely the responsibility of the pastor or the preacher. As a matter of fact, one of the beliefs that sets us apart as Baptists is something we call the universal priesthood of all believers. Which suggests to us that in a real sense, because of what Jesus did, amen, we are all priests in a sense. In other words, prior to Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection, if you wanted to get to God, thank you, ushers, thank y'all so much. If you wanted to talk to God or have any kind of relationship with God, you had to find a priest. Amen. And the priest would go into what they call the Holy of Holies, and he would talk to God on behalf of the people. But the Bible lets us know that when Jesus died, the Bible says the veil of the temple was torn. It was rent in two. Amen. Which ended that whole obligatory system of people having to go to a priest to get to God. Now, some of you are sitting there like that's not significant, but you ought to thank God, amen, that you have access to him without having to go through anybody else but Jesus. Can I get a witness here today? And so with the universal priesthood of all believers, not only does that imply that you don't need a priest to get to God, it also suggests that you bear some of the responsibility for spreading the good news. Amen. If Pleasant Hill is to continue to be a growing and thriving church, then the message has to, amen, go beyond what is preached on Sunday or what is taught on Wednesday. And I've said it before that whenever I preach on Sunday, there ought to be 300, 400, or 500 sermons going out on Monday because of what you receive as you come here amen, to worship God and to learn more about him. So evangelism is very important. And I've discovered that one of the reasons that we don't evangelize is because a lot of times we have fear. We are afraid to be witnesses for Christ. And I stand here today, and my prayer has been, even as I sat there contemplating preaching this morning, my prayer has been, Lord, bind up that fear in the hearts and minds of your people that would hinder them from telling others about your son, Jesus. So we bind that up. Amen. We bind it up. I bind it up in your mind, in your heart. Amen. Whatever fear you might have about telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I find. I find that God is consistently and constantly giving us opportunities to tell others about Christ. I was at Kentucky Fried Chicken yesterday. Amen. That was yesterday. Why y'all laughing like y'all don't eat Kentucky Fried Chicken? I was there yesterday. Amen. And as I walked in the door, a young man who worked in there said, "Hey, Rev." And when he said that, there was a young lady sitting in there, and she looked, you know, and as I sat down and got ready to enjoy my original chicken, she looked at me. She was sitting across at the next table, and she said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure, sure." She started telling me about some problems that she's having, amen, in a relationship and at home, and just all kind of things that she's going through, amen. And see, the flesh will mess you up, because the flesh was sitting there saying, "Now your chicken gonna get cold." But the Spirit said, "Here is an opportunity to witness." Amen. And so after she told me about all of her problems, I asked, I said, do you go to church anywhere?" "No, I don't go to church, but I pray, you know." And so I'm not going to tell you everything we talked about, but it gave me an opportunity to tell her about Jesus the Christ, the one who can handle every problem. You know, and I told about, you know, I had to bring her into reality to let her know that all that she told me was just the end of the world, amen, was not as bad as she thought it was. I had to tell her that it could be worse. I had to tell her, amen, that, you know, sometimes it helps us to go to hospitals. See, we only go when we have loved ones there, but every now and then it's good to go just to see, amen, that there are folk who are worse off than you are. It puts our stuff in perspective, amen? Amen. But Pleasant Hill, God wants you. He wants us to be a witnessing church. He wants us to be an evangelizing church. And so I bind up the spirit of fear that might hinder any of you from telling others about the good news. About the good news. But then even as we share the good news, we want our witness to be effective. Because I've discovered that just because some folk are out there telling people about Jesus, sometimes the message is not getting through because of some things that they're doing. And I wanna make sure we don't make these mistakes. Amen. And I associated this with flying on an airplane. How many of you have flown on an airplane before? All right. If you've ever flown on an airplane, especially if you have a long history of flying, some of you can remember that there was a time, even in coach, what we call coach class, that you would get a little something to eat. And I know y'all looking at me saying, that's all he think about is eating. But I remember when you would fly and they would give you something to eat. Now if you get some pretzels, and I'm talking about a little bitty pack of pretzels, and then they make it hard to open, you're doing good. But there are some things that I noticed in flying that I think might help us, might assist us in being more effective witnesses for Christ. Let me just share a few of the things with you that I noticed as I was on the plane. First of all, you know that when you get on there and as the plane is taxiing the runway and you're about to take off, there's a stewardess or flight attendant, they call them now, flight attendant, who pulls out, tells you that there's a safety card in the seat, in the back of the seat in front of you, and this safety card will assist you in case there's an emergency. And there are some life-saving information on that safety card, and they tell you that, you know, you need to pay attention to it. And sometimes it's a video, sometimes the flight attendant, they tell you about a mask that's going to drop down and all of that, you know, giving life-saving information. But I'm sure a lot of you do like I do. When the flight attendant is telling you all of this stuff, sometimes I just go on to sleep. I just close my eyes. I notice some folk get a book and start reading a book or looking at a magazine. But for the most part, people tune out the flight attendant. Now keep in mind, the flight attendant is giving us potentially life-saving information. But yet, 90% of the folk on the plane tune them out. Act like they're not even there. And I think there are three or four things we can glean from that whole experience that ought to help us as we witness to others. It ought to help us, amen, to keep folk from tuning us out. Because y'all know that happens too, right? When we try to witness, a lot of times folk tune us out. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. The first thing I established as it relates to being on the plane and the flight attendant giving potentially life-saving information, the first thing I came up with is that, because I had to ask myself, why do I ignore this flight attendant? And the first thing I came up with is I ignore them, number one, because I don't know them. In other words, there is no relationship. What are you talking about, Pastor? If it was my mama doing it, if it were my sister or, you know, somebody that I know well, if it was someone that I had a relationship, amen, no matter how boring, no matter how sleepy, no matter how tired, because that's my relative, amen. If I had a relationship with that person, I would be less likely to tune them out. And so the first thing I established that I tune the flight attendant out, and most of us tune the flight attendant out because we don't have a relationship with that person. Amen? And then the second reason I tune the flight attendant out, and I think that most of us tune the flight attendant out, is because we've flown many times, and the message, for the most part, becomes what? Redundant. I heard it before. It don't matter if you fly Delta, American, Southwest. I've never flown Southwest, but I assume they do it too. Don't matter what airline you're flying, they all give basically the same spiel. Am I right about it? And so not only do we tune them out because we don't have a relationship, but we also tune them out because what they're saying is redundant. I heard it before. And guess what? That ought to tell us in the church that if we're going to be effective witnesses for Christ, we need to seek the guidance of the Holy Ghost to help us become more innovative and creative as it relates to telling folk about being saved. See, do y'all understand what I'm saying this morning? So number one, there was no relationship. Number two, it was redundant. But then the third reason I tuned the flight attendant out is because in my mind, what they were saying was not relevant. Relevant. Wasn't relevant. Because I heard the flight attendant say, your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device. That wasn't relevant to me. Because I hadn't planned on crashing. Amen. It wasn't relevant. But then finally, as I said at the start of the message, the fourth reason why we tune them out is because now the airlines don't relinquish anything. I'm trying to give you some R's to help you remember, amen, these points. Number one, relationship. Number two, redundant. Number three, relevant. And then finally, we tune them out because they're not relinquishing anything. They don't give you nothing now. Amen. As a matter of fact, they're taking more. Amen. You got to pay for every carry-on now. $30 for the first one and $25 for the second one. And amen. Everything costs something now. And so we tune them out. Just get me to where I'm going. Just get me to where I'm going. Amen. But my brothers and sisters, as we look at this text this morning, and we're about to read it, but there's a fellow in this text by the name of Andrew. And if you need to tag a title to this text, you might call it Dare to Be an Andrew, because that's what I want to encourage you. I want to encourage every one of you to take on some of the characteristics of this brother by the name of Andrew. Whenever you think about Moses as a Bible reader, you automatically think about someone with great leadership abilities. Whenever you think or talk about Joshua, you think about someone who had great courage. Whenever you think about or read about Jeremiah, you think about a man of God who had great sensitivity and compassion. Whenever you hear the name Peter, amen, you think about someone who was compulsive. But when you hear the name Andrew, and we don't hear a lot about Andrew, but I want to talk about Andrew today, because when you hear, from this point on, when you hear the name Andrew, you ought to think about an effective witness for Christ. Moses, great leader. Joshua, great courage. Jeremiah, great sensitivity and compassion. Peter, compulsive. But when you hear the name Andrew, I want you, from this point on, to associate it with one who was an effective witness for Christ. How many of you want to be effective witnesses for Christ? I want to be an effective witness for Christ. You need to know that there are three reasons for the church. Three reasons. There's a Pleasant Hill. Three reasons. Amen. They're for the church. Number one, the church exists to worship. Say worship. That is when we celebrate God's love. The second reason for the church is witness. That's what we're going to talk about in a minute. Witness. That is to communicate God's love. We worship, we celebrate his love. But when we witness, we communicate his love. And then the third reason the church exists, and this was in Rick Warren's too, is ministry or service. And that is when we demonstrate God's love. Celebrate, communicate, and demonstrate. This is very important, Pleasant Hill, because all over this nation, churches are on the decline. The Bible says that in the last days, there will be a great falling away. And I'm here to tell you today that it has already begun. If you don't believe me, just go to some churches. Amen. You'll see that church membership, church attendance is on the decline. And guess what? A lot of it is our fault. I said a lot of it is church folks' fault. We get so professional at being church folk. What are you talking about, Pastor? We know when to say amen. We know when to shout. We know when to amen stand. We know, come on. We are professional church folk. And times are so hard now that people are looking for more than professional church folk. Y'all don't hear me this morning. See, the recession hadn't come to your house yet. But there are some folk out there who are beyond recession. They are experiencing depression. And I'm not just talking about financially. There are folk who are hurting emotionally. There are folk who are hurting spiritually. There are folk with family problems, and they are in a state of depression. And when they come to church, they don't come, amen, to see you put on. When they come to church, they're not here to stroke your ego.
Because y'all know some of us come to be seen, and some of us, amen, come to try to impress folk and all that. Oh, but y'all, I've come by to tell you, we are living in a time now where that's got to be out the window, out the door. People are hurting. People need help. Sort of reminds me of this fish. This man had a fish, and he loved his fish so much that he said, "Fish, I love you so much, I'm going to give you a brand new diamond ring." He got the fish a diamond ring. He said, "Fish, I love you so much, I'm going to buy you a gold chain and put it on your neck." He loved this fish. He loved the fish. He said, "Fish, I love you so much." He took the fish out of the aquarium, and he bought the fish a Mercedes Benz. He said, I'm telling you, he loved this fish. And some of you sisters are looking like, "Where is he at?" He said, "Fish, I'm going to take you out of this aquarium, Brother Douglas, and put you in the Mercedes Benz." He bought the fish a brand new house with a widescreen TV. Amen. He took the fish out the water, put him in the mansion. Amen. And all that. And he looked at the fish. The fish looked miserable. The fish, amen, just looked just sad. And the man said, "Fish, what's wrong?" The fish said, "The jury don't make me happy. The car don't make me happy. The house don't make me happy." And you know the fish said, "All that stuff is good for you, but," he said, "I need water." And y'all, I'm here to tell you that there are folk coming in these doors every week, and they are not coming, amen, amen, to impress you, but they're coming saying, "I need the Lord to guide me every day as I travel along this narrow way, every second, every minute, every hour, every, I need the," is there anybody here this morning who's come because "I need more of God"? I love that song that our praise team sings. "Lord, I need more of you, more of you, more of you." John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. It says, "Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" Now I need you to see, this is, you got to see John here. "Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples," whose disciples? John. Amen. "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said," John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, you need to see here that John had his own disciples. All right? This is not talking about Jesus' disciples. It's talking about John's disciples. And they see Jesus, and John looks at Jesus and says to them, "Behold the Lamb of God." Verse 37. "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Then, verse 38, "Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, 'What seek ye?' They said unto him, 'Rabbi,'" which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?' He said unto them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew." Who is Andrew? Simon Peter's brother. "He first findeth his own brother Simon." Back up, rewind, read 40 again. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him," talking about follow Jesus. He heard John speak, and John told him to follow Jesus. It says he followed him, and his name was Andrew. Andrew is Simon Peter's brother. I'm trying to get y'all to see that before Peter got saved, his brother Andrew got saved. All right, it says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first," after Andrew receives the gospel, after Andrew gets acquainted with Jesus, I'm trying to tell you, see, because some of y'all, when we get to talking about relationships, some of y'all, and we get to talking about witness, and some of y'all get to talking about, "I don't have anybody to witness to." But if you read this, you understand you can start at home. It says he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. One of them was Andrew, who was one of John's disciples, but John told him, follow Jesus. Y'all, John said in so many words, John said, it's not about me. In so many words, John said, man, I'm your mentor, but Jesus is your master. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that you cannot make this church experience all about you. Oh my, we have just so polluted the church with egotism that it's unbelievable. We got our own seats and frown at visitors because they got here earlier than you. And they're going to tell the usher, they in my seat. Well, the last time I checked the roll, we didn't sell any season tickets. Come on, amen. Tell your neighbor, you ain't got no seat. John says, in essence, it's not about me. I'm glad you were following me, but you need to follow Jesus. And then, y'all, we're told that Andrew went with Jesus, it's right in the text, at about 4 o'clock, and look at this, he spent the whole day with Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Andrew went with Jesus after John said, follow him. Amen. He went with Jesus, and look at what he did. He spent the whole day with Jesus, which means that he spent time and established a relationship with Christ. Some of you are suffering. Some of you are going through trials and troubles. Amen. You're calling on him, but he's not answering you. And the reason he's not answering you is because you haven't taken time to develop a relationship with him. How many of you know that it's all right for mama to know him, and it's all right for daddy to know him, it's all right for grandparents to know him, but how many of you can thank him this morning that you know him for yourself? I've got a relationship. You better develop a relationship. Let me tell you, religion will not substitute relationship. Just because you know what to wear, you know how to say amen, or you know how to lift your hands, all of that's good. But religion without relationship is not good enough. Tell your neighbor, ritual will not substitute relationship. So that's the first thing after Andrew established a relationship with the Lord. The next thing he did is he went to his brother. My brothers and sisters, after you have an encounter with the Lord, you ought to be encouraged to witness, first of all, to your own family. Shame on you. If you can tell everybody else about Jesus saves. From the guttermost to the utmost, he saves. But there Johnny is laying at home in the bed on Sunday, been out all night, and you talking about, I ain't going to force that on my children like that. My mama made me. How many of y'all heard that? You heard that, but my mama made me go to church. My daddy made me, and yes, my mama made me go to church. I can remember the times my brother and I, we would hide under the bed when I could get under the bed, in the closet, wherever we could get. Lord, when it was time for church, I didn't want no part of church. Lord, it's boring. Oh, God. I don't know what they're saying. What are they saying? Oh, Father, I said. Didn't want no part of that. Deacons would pray 30 minutes. Woo. My God. God, if he pray for one more person. But after you have an encounter with the Lord, You ought to be encouraged to witness, first of all, to your own family. The Bible bears it out. How many of you remember the woman at the well? Amen. Jesus asked her, where's your husband? Amen. Amen. He said, you've had five, and the one you have now ain't yours. And after Jesus.